Chapter 13. A New Challenge in Ethiopia. It was January 1963. The door for us to continue working in the Sudan had slammed shut. Harvey and Labina were marking time in Alexandria, Egypt, at Schutz, the school for missionary children. Our children, Jim, Dave, Carol, and Mark, were students there. Dr. Glenn Reed, the United Presbyterian Regional Secretary for Africa, flew in from Asmara in Eritrea to meet with the Sudan expellees. Our numbers were increasing. Those with children at Schutz gravitated to Egypt. The number of missionaries still in the Sudan was dwindling rapidly. Some were given a month's notice. Others were given a week to get out, while several were told to pack their bags and be out in 24 hours. We had been given a week. It was agreed that we and several other missionaries should apply for visas to work in the mission in Ethiopia. Harvey and Labina should plan to locate on the Gila River where the McClures were. We should continue our Merle translation, having the people I'd been working with at Pibor cross over from the Sudan into Ethiopia on foot and work with us there. Pibor was probably a little over 100 miles away using their trails. Walking this distance was not that difficult for people who had been walking wherever they went since birth. Such were our plans. But it was not to be. The coveted visa permitting us to live in Ethiopia and continue the Merle translation at the Gila River was denied by the government. We, along with the Adairs, who had worked on the Schulich translation in the Sudan, were denied visas into Ethiopia. We had been classified as linguists, which at that time was anathema to the Ethiopian government, which was opposed to work being done on vernacular languages. It would take another 18 months before we'd be granted a visa to live in Ethiopia. This would be our wilderness wandering before entering the promised land of Ethiopia. The task the Lord would entrust to us would be difficult and sometimes dangerous. God knew what lessons we must first learn before we'd be fit and meet for the Master's service. 18 eventful but trying months went by, months of anxious waiting and uncertainty about the final outcome before the coveted visa was granted. During those months, we worked in Egypt on the Merle manuscripts, getting them ready for the British and Foreign Bible Society for printing. We spent months in other African countries as well as in Addis Ababa on an extended tourist visa. Confident that we'd eventually be granted a resident visa, we spent our time in Ethiopia studying Amharic. Dr. Don McClure worked tirelessly with the government officials, trying by every means to secure that elusive visa. In the end, it was the royal family's interest in the Masengo people that resulted in our being granted a visa on the condition that we open a new work among the people living in the rainforest in southwest Ethiopia. The personal intervention of the Crown Princess on our behalf opened the door and gave us a new opportunity and tremendous challenge to believe and trust God for the unknowns of His tomorrow. We were to open a new work among a hidden people who had yet to hear the precious, powerful, saving name of Jesus Christ. Getting ready for the rainforest. An enormous burden was lifted when our resident visa was finally in hand. Boundless energy was released. All thoughts and prayers now centered on plans and preparations to facilitate our moving into the forest to live among the Masengo. It would be no easy task. From my letter dated November 15, 1964, we recall some of the many details of preparation required before we could begin our ministry in that forbidding place. Quoting from the letter, "The day was beautiful again, as it is every day here in Addis at this time of the year. It'll be quite different in a couple of weeks when we go to our new post, to be known as the Godre River Post. What busy days these are. The entire house is in a mess now, and we have only straight chairs left to sit on. Most everything has been sacked or boxed. I bought 36 10-foot by 12-inch boards for boxing things, and they're nearly gone. The saws and hammers have been working overtime. This past week, we ordered our year's supply of food. 4 local saddles, 2 pack saddles, 8 axes, 8 shovels, 40 grass knives, 6 pickaxes, 3 files, an umbrella tent, 2 folding chairs, 20 sacks, 12 smaller sacks, 40 yards of sacking, 5 bolts of unbleached cotton cloth, a used umbrella tent. Fortunately, we can go to the office and get money and put it on our account. I guess they know that once we get started, the drain on funds will be over. It is interesting when you buy a saddle in the native market. You buy the basic seat and then add parts of straps to it until finally you have a complete unit. All of this takes a terrific amount of time and bargaining. I just remembered some other items purchased this week. On Monday, I spent more than half of the day in the junkyard getting an old Jeep rear-end axle, wheel, and tire assembly. This had to be shipped to Mizen Taffery, Gamira, later to be put under the tumble bug, that is, the dirt remover, which will go to Gaudry for work on the airstrip. I also bought a used water tank and 3 small barrels, plus some plastic hose and a gas pump. What a world. There is so much to remember. We have checklists which are constantly being revised. Yesterday, while getting hinges and hasps, I suddenly remembered we'd forgotten springs for the screen doors. Remember the time, Pa, when we ordered that Land O'Lakes powdered milk in Minneapolis? Well, this time, we bought it all right here in Addis. 8 cases of it, enough for a year. Continuing from the letter. Other activities of the week included 2 conferences with the Crown Princess and the Crown Prince. The land for our site is being given to us by the Crown Prince. We get a lot of kidding from our colleagues about being so close to the royal family. The Crown Prince is the oldest son of His Majesty Emperor Haile Selassie I and next in line for the throne. Mr. Hanna, the mission representative, and I went together. His Highness asked many questions about the Masengo and then offered to help if we had need. And finally, he called in his secretary and asked him to draft a letter to the Minister of the Interior granting us permission for the land and to start work immediately. He's arranging a conference for this Wednesday with himself, the Governor General of the province, and ourselves. It's all quite thrilling for us. End of the letter. 3 weeks after this letter was sent, Levina, our little boy Paul, and I were on the way. We had done what we could to be ready. We were trusting God to guide us and protect us from every evil thing. The adventure of what He was calling us to thrilled our hearts. The certainty that He had opened the door and that He finishes well what He begins gave us courage and strength as we moved ahead, leaning heavily upon Him.